How's it going, everybody? Monday morning, NHL Fantasy on Ice. Pete Jensen and Rob Reese back with you, breaking down the new week ahead, all the injury notes over the weekend, of course, guys, and James Harding's here as well. What's up, James? But guys, right, Aaron Ekblad right off the top. Seems like it's going to be a pretty long-term injury after what went down the other day.
Not good, James. I don't know about you, but I have him in one of my leagues. He has been so crucial for me at that position. I made a move this morning I want to hear your opinion on. I put Ekblad on IR Plus because it's looking like he's not going to play again this season. And I picked up OEL from the Coyotes. He's about 40% rostered in Yahoo, which is pretty low given his pedigree.
Yeah, right now, I mean, I had Ekman-Larsson on the waiver list this week as my top defenseman to add, him and Noah Hanifin out there right now. And I guess, you know, guys like that popping up and coming alive at this point in the season, you know, you always expect injuries, but you never, ever want to see an injury like that. What we saw to Ekblad last night. And right now, you know, he was, I think, 10th or 11th overall ranked defenseman in standard Yahoo fantasy leagues before the injury that you saw last night. So it's just a devastating blow for a player who, you know, had after that great rookie season he had in 14-15, he had always kind of been, you know, up and down. We kind of always expected him to take that next step and then he never did. And, you know, he had the 41 points in 67 games last year, and you were finally like, okay, this guy is starting to put it together, and then he has the season he has this year, and to see him go out like that, you know, it's just really tough. But yeah, I think if you can go out right now and get a guy like an Ekman-Larsson, if you can even add a guy, you know, Alec Martinez, you know, Jacob Chychrun, you know, there are a number of players out there right now who are worth adding, but it's going to be hard to replace production like that.
No doubt. And my biggest question is, like, for the Florida Panthers is if he is out for a long time or maybe even the season with this leg injury, does this mean that they're going to fall out of the playoff picture? It could mean that sad reality. I mean, especially we saw some rocky performance. They did get some performances over the weekend from like Verhaeghe when he had the hat trick, even with Barkov out. So there is some resiliency on that group, I would say, but I just don't think they could survive this. I mean, maybe because the division is so weak, maybe they sneak in, but then it's just an early exit against a team like Carolina or Tampa Bay, right, guys?
Well, that's, you said it. I mean, the division's weak, so they will get into the playoffs. I think they'll have that 3 seed locked up. And their next 4 games are against Columbus and Detroit. So look for them to stay afloat and maybe get some chemistry, James, from a guy like Uyghur, who I think is going to get some power play time on ice now. So if you have him in season-long leagues, just because he lost his partner Ekblad, it does not mean you should drop Mackenzie Uyghur. He's still a viable standalone option. His ceiling could be even higher with power play time. But honestly, I think now if you're looking at the waiver wire, I think you just move past Florida. I mean, altogether, even if a guy like Verhaeghe sticks out to you after a hat trick over the weekend, I think you just move on and look for another team now, James, because even if they do make the playoffs, which they will, you know, it's probably going to be over real quick without Aaron Ekblad.
I'm going to state the obvious. This is devastating for the Florida Panthers' long-term success here this season. I don't want to say the obvious. We all know what the obvious is, but this could be, James, a one and done scenario with the Florida Panthers. It was so important for them to maybe get first place in that division. And now, I mean, the matchup is going to be rough for the Florida Panthers in the playoffs.
Yeah, I think this definitely shifts the Panthers' thinking and mindset at the deadline right now. I think now they're going to be very active in the defensive rental market. You know, you can see them go out and look at a guy like Sammy Vatanen or Brandon Montour from one of these more, you know, bottom feeding teams. You know, from a fantasy perspective, you know, we threw out some names there. OEL, if he's available, Noah Hanifin, who is less than 10% rostered in Yahoo right now. Even guys, you know, Dmitry Orlov, Justin Schultz from the Capitals, even Shane Gostisbehere from Philadelphia, even though he's had an up and down season as points in back-to-back games. So, you know, there are guys out on the waiver wire that you can, you know, put in place that'll give you some of the production that Ekblad gets. But I think we just have to see, from an overall perspective, what the Panthers' shift now is in the next couple of weeks and who they go out and try and acquire to patch that roster spot, and see what the reaction from the team is after that.
Yeah, see, like with Uyghur, I'm worried. Like Ekblad is like the cornerstone of that back end. I mean, even if Uyghur is an underrated defenseman in the scope of the entire league, like not having him, and if the team falls apart, like I think he could lose some value. It might not even be his fault. And then, just looking at some of the other teams around the league, like I think like Nashville is one team that's trending up. If you could get a piece of Ekholm, if you could stash Ellis for when he comes back. You might have to plug and play, right, guys? Like over the next couple of weeks until some hot name pops up on the defenseman waiver wire, because it's very thin. I saw myself picking up Jacob Trouba over the weekend to get some hits to try to win my weekly matchup. I know people are picking up like Ferraro from the Sharks because he covers blocks and hits. Like there's not many good names out there. Even some of the names you mentioned, like if you're in a really competitive league, those guys might not even be available. So it's slim pickings, and you might have to lean to the category specialist to get through this Ekblad injury if you had him.
And it's hard. I mean, if you're just a casual fan, I mean, you're not going to recognize any of these names on the waiver wire. You know, maybe Shane Gostisbehere, as you mentioned, James, from like a few years ago. But, if you've looked at his recent stats, you're probably like, what? What happened to this guy? So, yeah, definitely a thin position. Let's shift ahead to some good news, though. Kirby Dach did make his return over the weekend. I was pretty impressed. I mean, it did drop both games to Nashville, the back-to-back, but he played at least 20 minutes in each game. He did qualify for the waiver wire list. Very hard to do when you're off for that amount of time and you're thrown back into the lineup like there to play 20 minutes in both those games back-to-back nights. I know it's a -4, James, but what do you make of Kirby Dach's return here, and what are you kind of predicting for the next week or so?
Well, I think they're going to give him every opportunity to be the number one center for the rest of the season. Now, obviously, a guy like Pius Suter is coming on strong for Chicago right now as well. I think he has a four-game point streak at the moment. So he's playing incredibly well. The 3 goals, he had 2 assists last night. He's got 11 shots on goal in the 4-game span. So he definitely doesn't want to lose playing time. So he's, stepping up his game. But I think the plan, as expected all along, was that Dach was going to come back and that he was going to slot right back in and be given every opportunity to be the number one center there. And he's skated most so far through the 2 games on a line with Pat Kane and Alex DeBrincat. Now, it hasn't been consistent, but the two that he's been paired with the most has been the 2 elite wingers that we know that the Blackhawks have. So I would expect that is going to be how everything's going to shake out for them over the next few weeks coming up, and that Dach will solidify himself as the one center there.
And yeah, tough break for them over the weekend. Even despite getting him back, they lose 2 games, and it was right after they won 2 games against the Panthers. So very Jekyll and Hyde team right now, and in danger of falling out of it. I mean, I think Nashville, right? Like they're pretty much even with them now after sweeping that. That was what Robbie was saying. That was a huge opportunity for Nashville. And even with Saros winning one and that getting banged up, and Philip Forsberg missed both games over the weekend with an injury, but that top line in Nashville is rolling right now, right? With Johansson centering, Eli Tolvanen and Victor Arvidsson. Is that a line that you guys want to get a piece of any way you can right now, especially with Nashville on the 5-game winning streak?
I think you have to right now. I mean, Nashville is in that fourth spot. All of a sudden they're tied, for fourth. They have the tiebreaker as of right now. So, you got to get in on that team. I mean, it's going to be doggy dog the rest of the season. Their goal differential, at -15 is not good, but they have a lot of upside. There is some runway for them left this season. And I think any team that's going to be competitive down the stretch, I would make the same argument for Arizona as well, right? Like that was kind of my rationale for picking up OEL. They are right in the playoff picture. They're going to be in tight games. They're going to be competing very hard. Same, token of knowledge I would use for Nashville, James, where it's like Tolvanen had the pedigree all along, but now that Nashville is in like a playoff spot, I'm even more into that team, than I was previously.
Yeah, Tolvanen, with how he's playing right now. I mean, we've talked about him a handful of times over the last five or six episodes that I've been on, he's slowly starting to get that confidence. He's slowly finally starting to show you the player that we all thought he was going to be, the player that he's shown to be at the minor league level, at the AHL level, when he hasn't been with the Predators. And we had really for the last two or three years been wondering, is he actually, finally going to take that next step and be the guy? And he's starting to, he extended his point streak to 5 games with an assist last night against the Blackhawks. He had an assist in each game, 2 goals, 5 assists, 3 power play points. And that's the thing is, the Predators had always the last handful of years struggled on the man advantage. And now they have a guy in Tolvanen. Arvidsson has always been a decent power play performer. Forsberg really was their main guy with Josi. But now to add a guy like Tolvanen in who seems to, step up in situations like that, he's a guy you have to be going out and adding. And especially with Forsberg day to day with an upper body injury right now, we don't know how long he's going to be out. So with an expanded role, absolutely. He's one of those guys, even just on a stream until, maybe he cools off, but he's definitely one of those guys you have to be targeting.
And Pekka Rinne, we added him in at the end of the top 200 overall rankings last week. And I guess if Saros is banged up a little bit, are we going to see a resurgence in Pekka Rinne's value? I'm not sure I have full trust in him like you did in his heyday when he was an elite goalie year after year after year through his first like 10 NHL seasons, but it's a guy with some pedigree. I mean, if you were to say like in a perfect scenario, like some of these other aging goalies like would be thrust back onto a contending team, I mean, it's at least attractive, right? It's not like he's a no-name like Aiden Hill out there winning back-to-back games and you're saying, oh, is this guy going to keep this up? Probably not. But Pekka Rinne has taken them to the cup final before. And, I'm not saying it's going to happen again. It's probably all likelihood not going to happen. But Rinne could certainly power them into the playoffs if he needs to.
I think Rinne's the guy you should add right now if you do need a goalie, especially that third spot, for fantasy playoffs. You're always going to want to have a third goalie just in case to hit those minimum 3 starts a week. You never want to be in a position where you might not get that. And I think Rinne, he's been pretty steady in his starts this year. Hopefully it's nothing serious for Saros because that team does need the timeshare. Like they really, really do, I think, down the stretch. But yeah, I would take a flyer on Rinne. I don't know. I mean, I would rather have a Rinne, I think, than an Aiden Hill personally. What do you guys think? Because Aiden Hill's a hot name too on the waiver wire.
I mean, but choosing between those two, the body of work, you have to lean with Rinne right now. I don't think you can really go wrong with either one. But if there are better names, I think, than a guy like Aiden Hill that I would be going out and trying to add off the waiver wire right now. And Nedeljkovic from Carolina seems to be carving out a larger role and getting a huge amount of trust from that team. Cam Talbot, if he's available, still rostered in under 60% of leagues. Jack Campbell from Toronto, he allowed a few, I think 3 goals in their win over Edmonton over the weekend. So, but he's still 6-0 on the season with a 1.48 and a 9.45 save percentage. So, I think that there are better options out there than Hill or Rinne. But if you're deciding between those two, I'd go with the experience and the team that I know has the defensive capabilities right now, which would be Nashville. So I would say Rinne.
Yeah, and I'm curious too. I heard that they signed the defenseman from Hobie Baker finalist from Boston University, Ference. I mean, that's like a new wrinkle. I know that it's like always been a deep defense in Nashville. And, we talk about Ellis being injured and there's Dante Fabro as well, who's a younger player. And maybe add this kid to the mix as soon as the next couple of days or weeks. And all of a sudden you start to feel good about Nashville's future a little bit more than we did earlier in the season when we were putting them in the same category as a team like the Sharks. And, I think it's maybe a breath of fresh air that they're able to lock up a player like that to his entry-level deal. I know they've had difficulties in the past, right, guys, with their, their prospects and not being able to lock them up and sign the guys that they drafted. And for them to be able to do that provides a glimmer even during their down days. But I guess this winning streak came at the right time to be able to do that.
It's true. I like those ads. I mean, anytime, like Cole Caulfield's another one from Montreal that could make his debut, you know, maybe in 7 days here from now. So we'll see about that. Like, that's another name I would keep tabs on. Like, I'm not ready, you know, to go out there yet. Unless you're in a really deep league, I would absolutely make that move. Keeper league, he should already be picked up, no question. But, you know, I'm interested to keep tabs on those kind of guys. You think that Caulfield's going to make an impact, James, or are we a week, you know, or too early here?
We're a little early. I mean, they already said that they're going to send him down to Laval in the AHL to get some seasoning first as soon as he, and don't forget too, he has to pass through the quarantine procedures to get into Canada before he can start playing. So he has to do the quarantine to get into Canada, and then he can start playing in the AHL. And then from there, it'll be when he gets, you know, when they feel he's ready to get called up to the NHL level. I would say we're probably 2 to 3 weeks minimum, maybe even a month away from Caulfield hitting the NHL level. I think that they need to get him some seasoning. They need to get him up to speed in the AHL level. In keeper and dynasty leagues, I'd be definitely putting him on your watch list. Maybe if you have like an IR plus spot where, you know, a not active player can get parked, you go out, you pick him up and, you know, you just hold him. And maybe for the last 2 or 3 weeks of the season, end of April into the first, you know, week of May, before the regular season ends, they call him up and give him a shot. But I'm not banking on Caulfield doing too much in redraft leagues this year. He's not a guy who I would have on the radar, but in keeper and dynasty formats, absolutely. I'd be looking to add him now or in the next few weeks, because as soon as Montreal calls him up, people in leagues like that are going to pick him up immediately.
Yeah, and I know that once he was signed to the ELC, Caulfield should be added to Yahoo's system very soon if he's not already, but keep an eye out for that. If you're in like a deep, you know, keeper expanded league like we are, Robbie, I'd probably like throw him, stash him on our bench, even if you can't put him on IR plus because we got the games played limits and stuff like that. I'd hang on to a player like that. I mean, right, you and I and anybody who's a Penn State fan, watch that guy, you know, dash our hearts a couple of weeks ago as they were trying to make a run and pretty much one man show. And he led the NCAA in points per game. So, you know, he's just a dynamite player. I don't know that it's the best fit in the world with all of Montreal's right wing depth, unfortunately. But like, remember last year when they got Kovalchuk, like he was a spark plug for them. Like with this guy's talent and being such a young player, I mean, it's actually something I'm really excited about for Montreal because they're very deep team, but they're a very dull team right now to me, and he could make them so much more exciting. So I actually think he's going to get an opportunity at some point this season, and he could have a bigger impact, much bigger impact, say, than what Zegras has done in Anaheim, which is not even his fault, really. The team's terrible, but well, not terrible, they swept the Blues, so give him some credit. But I do think Caulfield's going to make an impact when he does draw in.
Caulfield, baby. Big fan of his play. And as PD mentioned, we saw him in college. And this is why I love the keeper leagues, the dynasty leagues. There's nothing better than grabbing a kid right now, right? And having him on your squad. And you get to see his entire career sort of unfold in front of you. Whether it's the right move or wrong move, it's still fun either way. And I mean, he's going to be a good player. The question is, how long does it take for him to develop? By all accounts, he's going to be a very solid NHL player. And so in the keeper league, it's like, let's grab this guy. Let's watch him from day one and let's roll with him. So whether it's the right move or wrong move, I typically make that move. And then, you know, sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't, but it's fun either way.
And they got Eric Staal, you know, in a trade too, and he'll probably be their third line center. So they're pretty good down the middle now. All you need for Caulfield to make an immediate impact and to be that flashy player we know he can be is to have an opportunity on line one, two, or three, now potentially next to Eric Staal. So I think, you know, there is some appeal there. Definitely, as Pete mentioned, if you're in a deep league, get him and stash him. If you can, you know, if you're in a good position right now in your league, go for it. You're not going to be burned by that move. There's going to be someone else available if need be, but I do like that. Now let's talk about those St. Louis Blues, because that division is going to be one of the most interesting to wrap up. Now, the reason why you know, I'm going to bring up the Blues right now is because the Arizona Coyotes are breathing down their necks about to capture that fourth spot. The Blues don't play again until Friday and Saturday. They've got a back-to-back against the Avs, James, and then their entire rest of the schedule is either against the Golden Knights, Minnesota Wild, Colorado Avalanche, and they have one game against those Arizona Coyotes. I mean, it is a brutal uphill Mount Everest type of climb. What do you think? You know, what are you seeing from the Blues?
I'm not really seeing a whole ton from them, to be honest. You know, I've probably been harder on Jordan Binnington than most of us have. I think, like I said a few weeks ago, I don't like the contract. I'm not 100% sold on him. I thought going into the season, Torrey Krug, from an all-around perspective, was a downgrade from Alex Pietrangelo. So I thought their defense was going to be weaker, and it has been this season. The inconsistencies that they have on offense, you know, I'm not 100% in love with everything that that team is doing right now. Tarasenko has looked, you know, great at times since he came back from his injury. He's looked, you know, pedestrian at times since he's come back from the injury. It's just a lot of inconsistencies for a team that we know, you know, can flip the switch and turn it on and be, you know, this juggernaut at any minute. But they just, for some reason, something is just holding them back from playing consistently. And I just can't keep waiting. When you see teams like Colorado and Vegas, how well they're playing right now. Minnesota is playing unbelievably consistent right now too. And you got Arizona, San Jose, Los Angeles. They're all three of those teams can win at any given night against St. Louis and have this season won any given night against St. Louis. Those are the games in a division like that you have to win. And when you look at the rest of the schedule that they have, I just don't see a whole lot of fantasy appeal when they have to play that many games against two teams that we feel are three or four of the best teams in the NHL.
Right. How many games have they lost this year to teams like the Ducks and the Sharks and the Kings, right? It seems like sometimes every other game. And then more recently, it seems like every game. So, I mean, I don't know how they're going to be able to hang with those teams, at least as long as Parayko's still on long-term IR. I mean, one of their most valuable players. That's one thing you could pin it on defensively and why Binnington's struggling. I think also the off-season exit of Alex Pietrangelo is something I think back to as just something that probably, you know, hurt them negatively. They've had a ton of injuries, even now getting some guys back like Schwartz and Tarasenko. It just hasn't been the same yet. I like the way their top six looks. I like their talent group overall. They're just not delivering anything for you. And normally you would say, oh, you know, maybe the schedule's on their side, but if it's drastically not on their side, then it's a time to maybe think of the Coyotes as a contending team. I mean, they're not an exciting team really on paper, but you know, you see Phil Kessel getting going again. You see guys like Dvorak chipping in with some timely goals at different points. Their defense has been scoring, like we said, and they're on their third string goalie and they're somehow winning games. So I don't think anybody from four down to eight in that division is any good right now, but somebody's going to, you know, spin it forward and make the playoffs. So it's going to be exciting at least to see who that team is going to be. I have no pulse on who it's going to be, by the way.
I wish I had more of a pulse on it, Petey. I do like the appeal that if the Blues get in, they're going to be battle tested. Like that's the schedule you want if you're feeling good about the way you're playing, because you're going to go in, you're going to win that first round. Then if they get in, they're going to win the first round. I will put that down right now. But the problem is, I think Arizona just has too many sneaky player, James. And if you're on, you know, the fantasy waiver wire right now, you have to look at Clayton Keller, who's on fire. Look at his stat line for the season. He's up to 28 points, almost at a point per game pace. You mentioned Phil Kessel. I mean, this guy, if there's anybody that can end the season hot, it's Phil the Thrill. I would absolutely take a flyer on him as well. And I just think, Bobby, like this team is poised, you know, not only to maybe get a playoff berth here, but just to be the exciting team. You know, I thought it was going to be the Rangers. Caps had other intentions for them to end the season well. That's over now. We can put the tombstone out for the Rangers here. But I think it could. Now I'm on to the Coyotes. It could be the Coyotes here.
It could be the Coyotes. I'm looking at the standings right now, and that is, it's going to be a fun race to keep an eye on throughout. I just have to believe the Blues. I know we're so down on them based off of what we just saw. I have to believe the Blues are going to get that fourth spot. And then, Robbie, you are absolutely right. They get that fourth spot. You know, it'll be tough. They play Vegas, but they've had some epic games against Vegas. Vegas doesn't want to see the Blues in that first round game. I'll tell you that much. No way they want to see the Blues. I know that they've handled them and that they've won some games, but the games have been pretty good. I think the Blues get in the playoffs. Not writing off Arizona, will be a fun race to watch. But I'll tell you what, when the playoffs start, if it's Vegas Blues, oh, baby, strap in.
I mean, I don't even think Colorado wants to play a team like that. I mean, if anyone knows the Blues well, it's the Avalanche from being in the same division before. And then they both moved over to the West this year. So, yeah, it's a scary thought for those teams to face the Blues if they're hot at the right time. But that is a big, big if. And, James called it. I mean, neither of us really liked the contract. I didn't like the timing of it, but you were really down on that contract for Binnington with him in his UFA year. And, the Blues have taken a couple of steps back the past 2 years.
Let me just say one thing about the contract, because we had Alberga on, right, Pete? You didn't love it. Alberga, I thought, brought up a good point in the sense that maybe Binnington was struggling because he hadn't gotten the contract and he can kind of take it off his mind. I know they didn't have to give him the contract, but in hindsight right now, it looks like, well, maybe that wasn't the great move, because Binnington hasn't been good since getting the contract. He's basically regressed since getting the contract. So, you know, now I sort of agree with you, Petey. I mean, hindsight, of course, clears everything up. They didn't have to give him the contract. They gave it to him and he's been struggling, and he's so key. They got to get him right if the Blues want to do anything this year. Right, James?
Yeah. I mean, you look at where they are right now on the season. They're a minus 13 goal differential. The interesting thing is the home road splits. They're 12-5-2 on the road. They're 4-8-4 at home this season. And when you look at the rest of the division, Vegas is 13-2-1 at home. Colorado 13-4-2 at home. Minnesota is 13-3-0 at home. And all of them have winning records on the road. So St. Louis, the issue for them is they can't win at home, which makes absolutely no sense. Where you know the last 3 to 5 years, they have been just a dominant team when they have played at home. And maybe it's because they didn't have fans in there this season. For some reason, they can't get, you know, up to the games as much at home. I don't know what it is, but I'm very, very down on this team. And the fact that the majority of the games that they have remaining on the season, they have 21 games remaining on the season. They have 12 home games. And if you're going to tell me that, you know, over those 12 home games, they're going to go, you know, 3-6-3. I just don't think that that's going to get it done.
It's true. I mean, I'm looking at Binnington. He signed the contract on March 11th. He is 1-4-2, 1-7 with an 8-8-7. So that's not, that's not delivering for the long-term deal that they gave you. He still has time to correct it here down the stretch, but especially like with the crop of rookie goalies out there, I'm inclined to pick up almost any one of them, even like a Vanacek, maybe not Ottinger, but like I would almost rather have a Vanacek who's playing for, you know, a top 5-10 team in the NHL and part of a timeshare and getting you wins more often than not and quality peripherals. I mean, Vanacek, even with his, you know, middle road peripherals, is getting you much more fantasy return than Binnington has this season at large.
Well, Robbie had his hand up, so go ahead, Rob. Robbie was eager for that. He was on mute. He was on mute, so go ahead.
I was about to launch off on something here. Well, first of all, being the best road team in the division is great, but it doesn't get you anything, right, James, if they're not playing any road games in April. I mean, it doesn't do anything for you. So you got to win a game at home. Maybe the fans trickling back in there will help. I'm the only one, I think, on this program that's not totally down on Binnington. Like, I still see the value in fantasy, at least in a guy that I know is starting like 3 or 4 games a week. I know what you haven't yet, Pete, since the contract, like it's been bad, right? And I've got a question on Twitter over the weekend, like, would I trade Binnington right now for Freddie Anderson? And I just, at that point, like, I don't even know how to respond because I don't know. I would rather have Binnington right now because at least he's playing, But yeah. You have to think, like, if Freddie comes back in and gets the, you know, control of the net, that he's going to have better stats. But I truthfully don't know. I like the appeal in Binnington the rest of the season because he's going to be a big volume guy. But I really don't know what you would do with him in fantasy right now.
10 home games in the month of April against Vegas, Minnesota, and Colorado. 10 of their last 12 home games are against the three teams in that division that they're chasing right now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even think they're chasing them anymore. I think they're just trying to hold off whoever might be coming in from behind to try to take their spot. So, and yeah, you were talking about Freddie Anderson. The fact that that's even a debate while the guy's injured, while his backup, Campbell, is 6-0, won again over the weekend against the Oilers and has sparkling stats for fantasy so far. So you don't even know, like, when Anderson comes back, if it's going to be his net, crazy enough. And you still might take that chance on Anderson just because of the team support that he has. So, yeah, I think that says it all about how far it has fallen for Binnington here. Crazy.
If Campbell beats Edmonton again tonight, I think he's going to be the 1A starter for the rest of the season, even after Anderson comes back.
I like that in fantasy, but I think in terms of, you know, the Leafs getting a playoff win this year, a series win, I don't know if I like that storyline for them. Like, I would much rather feel more secure, you know, about a guy like Freddie Anderson that at least has history. He has experience. Like, Campbell, he has good career stats and he had the draft pedigree way back in the day, but I don't know if I like that trend for Toronto right now. Like, I don't know, guys.
I can't trust Fred Anderson in the playoffs. I'd rather go with the guy who I think has the upside versus the guy who has never won a playoff series every time he's been in there.
I mean, I still would want to see Freddie Anderson if he's healthy. If he's fully healthy, I would want to see Freddie Anderson in his contract year trying to, you know, get rid of all the cobwebs in the Maple Leafs closet with the playoff series losses of the past decade plus. I think he could get them over the hump. I think because that division has some holes, he could get them two series wins. And then at that point, it could get really interesting. So I still do have trust in Freddie Anderson, if he's fully healthy, to get the Maple Leafs to the promised land, right? Which would be the top four, final four, where they would match up against anybody in the East or the West. And you take your chances with that because the Maple Leafs star power is virtually unmatched across the league. It's up there with anybody's.
A few other tidbits here before we wrap up. Boston drops a snoozer yesterday, 1-0 to the New Jersey Devils. Ty Smith is resumed his rampage, made a little push for the Calder there. So definitely if Ty Smith is still available in one of your leagues, no question, you know, New Jersey does have some appeal. But James, like, I was looking at getting David Krejci in a faceoffs league last week, and now I'm like, I don't know. This Boston team doesn't have anything beyond their top line.
It's so maddeningly inconsistent this season, which is really unlike the Bruins that we've seen over the last, you know, 3 to 5 years. Cassidy has to just be pulling his hair out at points, just trying to figure out what's going on with this team. I mean, Tuukka Rask comes back, plays one period against the Islanders, and then goes down again. I'm super disappointed in Dan Vladar for not having Darth Vader on his helmet so that we can't nickname him Darth Vladar. I mean, there's just so much going on with this team right now that I'm so disappointed in. You know, outside of that first line, it's just hard to trust a lot of the production and the guy, you know, outside of that top line and Charlie McAvoy, it's just a really hard team to trust.
I said at the other show, I'm a little concerned about Boston getting in the playoffs. The issue is that Philadelphia and the Rangers, you know, they're lurking, but are they going to be able to overtake Boston? I fully expect Boston to be in the playoffs, but as I look at the standings and I see them fourth, I'm looking at the other fourth teams. Amazingly, Nashville is in a playoff spot right now after taking two from Chicago, which we talked about already. I don't know about Boston. They need to get, I mean, where is Jake DeBrusk? Where are these players for some secondary scoring? Please, Lord, they need something.
I mean, look at, I was kind of like harping on how Pittsburgh's depth is not very good, but like they just like blitzed the Islanders the other day. I know the Islanders made it close at the end of that game on Saturday night and nearly came within a goal, and then they could have tied it maybe after that with about a minute and a half left. But Like Jared McCann is one guy that was on your list for Pittsburgh. He's now on power play one with there being no Evgeny Malkin for the past few weeks. So, I mean, he's been chipping in some scoring. Pittsburgh, like they may not do anything in the playoffs, like we were saying.
They're in. They're going to make the playoffs.
They're going to make it, right?
They're
like,
in. I'm done picking against them.
I've picked against them the past 2 years. They've had all the injuries in the world. They have every reason to miss the playoffs. Even their front office was in shambles. And now it's, you know, back afloat. And they just always get, they got great coaching. I mean, I would still put Sullivan in my top five for the Adams right now, just with what he's doing with so little outside of their top line. So, yeah, McCann, go pick him up in fantasies on power play one. And the Penguins, I can't find anything else to say about them negative. They've proved me wrong a couple of times now.
The one thing I will say about Boston that I think could just save their season and get them in is the last bit of their schedule. Six of their last 16 games of the season are against the Buffalo Sabres. So
then they're a lock.
You know, that's, they're not missing. You know, that's a maximum of 12 points right there. You know, they do play the Islanders three more times in that span. They have a few more games. They have three more games against Philadelphia. You know, they really after April 3rd, they avoid Pittsburgh for the most part. Two games against Pittsburgh, two games against New Jersey. But, you know, they play a lot of games against Philadelphia and Buffalo. Almost half their remaining schedule is against those two teams.
Well, that's a good point, James. Buffalo is a doormat and the body clock is all off. I mean, this shortened season, I feel like we just got it started. Now we're looking at the schedule to see where teams are ending up their season and how the schedule lays out. It's crazy how quickly it's gone, the shortened season. Yeah, that'll be interesting. Now, I don't know if Philadelphia and the Rangers have enough juice to get over Boston, but you know, Boston is limping badly right now, and they need to pick up their level of play, obviously.
And you mentioned the depth scoring concerns, Bob. I think there's a lot of similarities here between St. Louis right now and Boston. You know, good teams that just aren't playing well enough. And, you know, I will say, though, on the power play, David Krejci got 6 minutes. Mac Rizlik got 6 minutes. Nick Ritchie got 6 minutes. And the only thing that's different between Boston now and earlier in the season is Nick Ritchie was producing in those opportunities. He's not right now. If a player like that gets hot and no better opponent to get hot against than the Buffalo Sabres, like that's when Boston becomes a contender all of a sudden. I like the Pittsburgh Penguins team. I don't love the team. I mean, you look at the scoring there, it drops down from a 25 point floor from a guy like Malkin, who's injured, to 15 is the next highest to Tanev and Bluger. I don't want any piece of Bluger. I picked up Tanev in my first week of the season because he's a good depth guy, but I'd rather have a Nick Ritchie. I'd rather have a David Krejci. I'd rather have any one of those guys because they have the pedigree, and it's not a knock on Pittsburgh. It's remarkable that they've hung in this thing, but I do think Boston has those horses, and they, Bob, in the four seed could be in a good position to upset, you know, the team in the first seed, whether it's going to be Washington or the Islanders.
And another team that plays Buffalo a number of times more is Pittsburgh. They play them four more times. And I was just looking, I know Casey DeSmith has kind of been a hidden gem. Some people pick him up as a third or fourth goalie. He's returned value for them. He's up to 8 wins on the season and a .928 save percentage and 2 shutouts. If he plays Buffalo, say 2 more times, he might get another 2 shutouts. And then, it's a good timeshare with Jari and DeSmith, but what DeSmith is doing is worthy of, especially if we're saying Pittsburgh's a lock to make the playoffs, or at least it seems based on how they always prove everybody wrong. I mean, DeSmith could be one of the most valuable and also the safest goalie options to pick up right now in the whole league.
And the interesting thing about all of this too, the Rangers have 4 games left against Buffalo, but then on the rescheduled games, because of all the postponements due to COVID, the Rangers now finish with a 2-game series on Thursday, May 6th and Saturday, May 8th at Boston as their last 2 games of the regular season.
That's going to be tough. I mean, I think the Rangers were competitive in the games over the weekend. I couldn't believe that they lost to the Flyers. I know that they had, you know, bashed them in the previous 2 games, but that was a shocker to me on Saturday. And then slow start in the game yesterday. I guess the only hope for the Rangers is like, when they get Kravtsov into the lineup. Like, James, are you taking him seriously? I know we stashed him in one league ahead of his debut, but we talked about him briefly last week. But are you looking at Kravtsov, especially after they traded Brendan Lemieux over the weekend, right? They're making room for him, at least.
Yeah, I think they're making room for him. I just have to see where, you know, he goes and where the he gets put into the lineup. He gets slotted in. I know he had been practicing with I think it was Panarin and Strome a little bit during the week. I think he's more slotted for that third line right now to start. We'll just have to see. I definitely put him on your watch lists, and I'd pay attention to where the Rangers deploy him. I'm not running to the waiver wire to pick him up just yet.
No.
You can't be trading Brendan Lemieux right now either. One of the only tough players in the whole lineup to play against, and you get rid of this guy for a fourth-round pick. He's going to be a top-nine fixture in L.A., and he'll have a better chance of hoisting the cup before Panarin does with New York.
That's true. I agree with that. Can we do a Monday big board? Because I got the sledgehammer of all sledgehammers that will go down in the record books as one of the most historical picks ever made on this program. I want you guys to go run through the board, and then I'll give you my sledgehammer. First one in a while. I've been losing all my cash in college basketball, so I figured let me come back to the hockey and throw down a sledge on a surprise team. So what are you guys looking at? James, start with you. Rob, start with you. Wherever you want to go. James, what do you got? Rob, what do you got? Petey, what do you got? Put your finger up and roll.
Well, you know, I guess I'll start. And kudos to me and Pete for hitting the sledge on Friday, even though I came in late. We both got the Jets. How are the Jets an underdog again at Calgary tonight? It just doesn't make any sense. You know, there are a lot of big lines out there tonight. I really don't know, you know, how many of them I'd be looking at. I think maybe I would probably go like Avs on the puck line, but they're even against the Ducks, but they're even a favorite on the puck line. You know, I just don't. Let me come back to me. I got to take a look at all this.
Okay. All right. I thought you'd be ready to go. James, Petey, what do you got?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of value on the Ducks against the Avalanche, plus 320. But, like, I know Raquel got injured and John Gibson got injured. So just stay away from that one. I mean, the Avs will get it done there. Yeah, the Jets have been excellent this year following a loss. I mean, I think they've only lost consecutive games twice. So, and, you know, they beat the Flames. Then, you know, the Flames took one back. So, decent response for teams like the Flames and the Flyers over the weekend. The Flyers play Buffalo. That's a chance for them to get back on track. But yeah, I mean, unless you're just going back to the well with the Jets over the Flames, which I think is good on the plus number, I don't have as much conviction on that one. Good value on the Kings plus 185 against Vegas. Vegas has been a little up and down. I mean, that's a big number. So nothing's jumping out to me as a sledgehammer. Islanders and Penguins rematch from the other day. That's pretty much a pick 'em. There's no clear value there. So yeah, I'm definitely going to be watching Oilers Maple Leafs. I mean, that game lived up to the expectation on Saturday. I caught the end of it in overtime and Matthews won it. See if McDavid and company strike back here. Plus 130 for the Oilers. The Oilers have been kind of getting pushed around by the Maple Leafs in the season series. Wouldn't be surprised if they pushed back here plus 130 on the road against Toronto.
I like that. I mean, the North Division games are getting a little stale for me. All these matchups, like we've seen them 10 times already, it seems like. Like the McDavid Matthews thing, I like it, but it's like, give me a tight hockey game, Islanders, Penguins. Give me the depth scoring for the Penguins tonight. I want to see it. But Bobby, let's go to your sledge here because I don't have one. Tell me it's Buffalo, please.
Robbie. Yes,
I was going to say it too.
There you go.
I was going to guess that.
It ends tonight. The Buffalo Sabres at plus 160, plus 180, wherever you can get it. It ends tonight. The Sabres, it's a hockey game. A bounce here, a bounce there. I like the way they played against the Flyers a couple weeks back. I don't love the Flyers, obviously, for obvious reasons. I'm going to put my undefeated sledgehammer record on the line and take the Sabres once and for all. They finally get a win at plus money. Bobby's sledgehammer pick, of course, be responsible with the amount you put on it, but I like the Sabres tonight to finally end this thing. I know it sounds crazy. I know I've said it before and I've been wrong, but I believe it happens tonight. At that price, I believe it happens. The Sabres will find a way.
I like it. And they got Ullmark back over the weekend. They almost beat the Bruins. Yep. He had 33 saves on 36 shots faced, 917 save percentage, and his save percentage on the year is 918. So
it's
pretty damn good. Now that they have him back, especially against a fickle team like the Flyers, I mean, that could really happen. I love that pick,
man. Let's go. There you go. Sometimes you have to go out on a limb. I'm doing it. I'm putting the undefeated record on the line because that's what I do for the program. So all the folks that, you know, they're haters, you know, they want to come at me. Listen, this is what I do for the program, folks. Sledgehammer, Big Daddy Sledge coming out on the Buffalo Sabres on 3/29/21. It's on record. It's on tape. It'll be on Twitter. Update the standings today. I will. And away we go. Okay. There we have it. Let's go Sabres. I don't even know who's coaching anymore. Granato, let's go. Rally the troops, baby. Is he on the bench? I don't even know with the COVID. Let's go rally the troops. Away we go.
I could definitely, I could see that, especially with how close they played Boston over the weekend. I could see that. I'm not putting any sledges on anything tonight. I do like the Jets pretty much at even money at plus 100 against the Flames, who are minus 120. And I could see throwing a little bit of a shekel down on the Sharks at plus 140 against Minnesota, just to kind of get a value play there. But I really don't see I certainly don't see anything I'm going to put a sledgehammer on tonight. But I don't love a lot of these lines.
Yeah, I don't even love the Jets tonight because they've played the same opponent in the past two games. It's three games in a row. It's like
it's tough.
At one point, like the Flames are going to win one or two, you know, right. And it's like you can't. Same thing with Philadelphia. Like they're going to win eventually type of thing, right? Same thing with Buffalo. They got to win eventually.
Yes, they got to win eventually. Let it be tonight and hopefully improve the sledgehammer record, go to 5-0 and maybe, you know, take care of the wounds I've been suffering from the college basketball, which has been an utter nightmare for me. I mean, as it has been for many people, I think just a wonky year, but let's go Sabres for the once and for all. Let's go Sabres.
And just to comment on what you said, James, about the Wild and the Sharks. I mean, the Wild are very quietly up to the best team save percentage in the entire NHL. They passed the Islanders and Vegas over the weekend. So I love Minnesota in that game. The Sharks had a chance to gain ground on the Blues. They went out with the whimper of all whimpers, getting swept by the Coyotes. So I'm not picking the Sharks again for the rest of the season just because they're so tough to get any pulse on. They sweep the Kings. They get swept by the Coyotes. Give me the Wild there. That's I feel confident about that one. So great to have you on again, James.
You know what, actually, you know, now that you say that, Pete.
Oh, boy.
Sledgehammer the Wild on the puck line.
Whoa.
Jeez, James, you know,
sledgehammer the Wild on the puck line.
You're going 100 miles per hour.
Otherwise.
Okay, so I gotta keep
that James just throws the sledge.
Minus one and a half on the puck line at plus 165. I'll take the sledgehammer on the Wild on the puck line.
Okay.
I think like half of my sledges this year have been listening to us banter on the show. And then at the end of the show, I'm like, you know what? I really like that sledge. So sometimes you got to just let it come to you over the course of the show.
Well, I'm out for my run on Friday after I get off work and I'm listening to the program and you guys start to get to the odds. And I go and I look and I see the Jets line when you guys, you know, are talking about that game. And I send out that tweet that I'm taking the Jets as my sledgehammer for the night. And then 30 seconds after I hit send on the tweet, you said on the podcast on Friday that you changed your mind and you took the Jets as your sledgehammer. And I was like, I'm definitely going to hear about this from all of them.
Well, you guys both got the win. The judge and jury says, James, you still get credit for the sledge. That's fine. Yeah, I mean, we've been good on the sledges. Let's keep it rolling. And again, always be responsible, folks. We're just having a little fun on the program, you know, obviously differentiating. There's been some folks that don't know what the sledge is. Let's just make it clear. If we say we like the sledge, a team on the sledge, we like it a little bit more than other games on the board. We're putting our reputation on the line a little bit with the game. Yeah. Okay.
And wrap it up. James, thank you so much for joining us. Great insight as always. Great sledge. As always, we'll hope that one pays off. And one last note here, the Penguins' depth is actually going to get a lot better potentially tonight. Jason Zucker looks like he could be a game time decision. So last waiver wire tidbit, do not hesitate there. Pens team, as we said, is legit. Pick up Zucker. He's finishing strong most seasons. So go for it in fantasy.
Yeah. And I thought like people are getting into it with us on the sledge talk on Twitter. I mean, one guy was saying can only one person pick a sledge on a given day? And the guy was like, I actually like it if I hear that multiple hosts on the show like the same game. So I think we will open it up to maybe multiple people on the show can pick a sledge for the same day.
No, absolutely. That's fine.
Yeah,
I've never
seen that. I mean, I'm not getting it on Buffalo. I'm not getting the Buffalo.
Yeah. This is one where you probably don't even watch the game. You just cross your fingers, close your eyes, and hope that something good happens for the first time all year for myself. So hopefully it happens. Put a bow on it, Peter. Wrap it up. Everyone, great job. James, really appreciate the extended stay. Tremendous job. And for the listeners, always appreciate the patronage and even the negative reviews thrown my way. But again, support the other podcasts because we're a family here. Okay, Dan Rosen and Sean Rourke, they do a great job. Mike Morial, Adam Kimmelman with Draft Class, they do a wonderful job. Darren Millard, my good pal, The Chirp, give it a listen. Okay, folks, support the family of podcasts. We appreciate it. Put a bow on it, Peter.
Will do. So we'll be back with you again on Wednesday. Hit us up at NHL Fantasy again on Twitter and Instagram, and we'll hit you back up Wednesday. Thanks for tuning in.